Good morning, friends. Welcome to the parish. We are so glad that you are here this morning. We are coming to you live from the parish office this morning. And last week we gathered, we did a gathering live, and we thought, well, that was fun. Let's do that again. So here we are, and we're glad that you're spending the morning with us. As always, you can find the liturgy for our gathering and family activity packs for your kids so that they have things to keep them focused on their activities during the gathering. You can find both of those at the parish/gather, and we invite you to follow along as we worship this morning. It is a beautiful morning. On my drive in this morning, I was thinking about how evident creation's praise to God is this morning. There are times it's just so clear, and between the fireflies in my backyard last night and the sunrise and the lunar eclipse or whatever it was we had last night, just absolutely stunning. The creation is praising God, and we get to join it in that praise, and then we get to reflect that praise back to our neighbors and to the world who has yet to see how beautiful this God is. And so what a privilege we have to worship this morning. I invite you, bring your whole self, bring your joyful self, bring your depleted self, bring your despairing self. Wherever you find yourself this morning, there is room for you at the table, and I believe Jesus wants to draw near to you and meet you in a compelling, meaningful way this morning. So let's call ourselves to worship, and I'll invite you to join with me. You can follow along in the liturgy on the website, which I do not have in front of me. Can I borrow that from you? Thank you. I almost have this memorized, but don't want to lead us astray. All right, let's call ourselves to worship this morning. Are any among us suffering? We will pray. Are any cheerful? We will sing songs of praise. Are any among us sick? We will call on the name of the wounded healer. Have any committed sins? We confess our sins to each other that we might be healed. And pray with me, Father God, creator and sustainer of all things, we turn our hearts to you now. Lord Jesus, author and perfecter of our faith, we fix our eyes on you now. Holy Spirit, counselor and comforter, we open ourselves to you now. Amen. Let's worship together this morning.
Let's sing together.
Just a crumb from your table, just a drop from your well, all I desire, enough to fulfill. But you welcome the hungry, the weary and the least, to the river of life, to a heavenly feast.
And sing, holy is the Lord, like we're all together.
Holy, holy.
Holy, holy is the Lord.
one who was and is to come and is forevermore. We are the grateful ones, daughters and sons, we're yours forevermore. You are the one who was and is to come and is forevermore. We are the grateful ones, daughters and sons, we're yours forevermore. You are the one who was and is to come and is forevermore. We are the grateful ones, daughters and sons, we're yours forevermore. You are the one who was and is to come and is forevermore. We are the grateful ones, daughters and sons, we're yours.
In our lives. You've made a way for us to be formed into your image by simply partnering with you in the life you invite us to live. And we thank you for that. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to continue our gathering with the prayers of the people, and Jim Murphy is going to lead us in our prayer time this morning.
Please join me in prayer. O God, your Son remained with his disciples after his resurrection, teaching them to love all peoples as neighbors. As his disciples in this age, we offer our prayers on behalf of the world in which we are privileged to live and our neighbors with whom we share. Long ago, his disciples were first called to minister to those closest to them in Jerusalem. We too now lift our prayers for those closest to us, the lives in our homes and closely linked to ours. And now would somebody please unmute and offer a prayer for our immediate family and friends?
Lord, we thank you so much for the families that are gathered here today, our friends in the community. We ask, Lord, especially for those who are separated from loved ones because of COVID and might not be able to see them as often. We ask that you would just fill their hearts in places of loneliness that they may have. Lord, we ask that you would continue to bless us as we slowly come together. Continue to help us find the space for you that we found in the quarantine time, that our families would continue to thrive and grow in your peace and the togetherness that you intend for all of us.
The disciples were also called to be a witness next door, so to speak. They were called into Judea, a land nearby where they were welcomed. We too now offer our prayers for the friend next door. Let us pray to neighbors, co-workers, and all those we bump into daily. Now, would someone please pray for the wider community around us?
Father, we do pray for our neighbors and the community around us, and Lord, those who may not know you and who don't have a church to go to this morning, Lord, those who don't know you. And we just ask, Lord, that in this time of COVID-19 and Lord, all that's going on right now, Lord, we know that you are a communicating God. We know that you're alive, you're at work, and so we just want to ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would make yourself known, that you would visit us, that you would visit the place, you're here, you're not going to need to visit, that you would make yourself known, and Lord, cause your light to shine in the hearts of those who do not know you, those who do not have hope in a hard time right now. And so, Lord, that's our prayer for those that we see when we take walks through our neighborhoods, in our community. Lord, I can't help but think about the healthcare workers in the hospitals and offices and those that are just working round the clock, wearing themselves out, Lord, to save lives, to help. And Lord, we just ask that you would do great and mighty things and that you would manifest your presence among us in this time of trouble. Lord, we know that you are a very present help in trouble. And so we just ask, Lord, that you would make yourself known and strengthen and help and lift our eyes up to you, the living God, in these days. In Jesus' name, amen.
To their discomfort, the disciples were also called into Samaria, a place where they were unwelcome and not inclined to serve. Still, they served and loved and prayed like Christ in Samaria, and the world was changed. We too now offer our prayers and our service for enemies and those who are the other. And would someone please pray now for our enemies and those who are other?
God, it feels like all of us could name the other in our hearts, and it's different for everyone. And it feels like in this time, there's a lot of others. And so I just pray first for a softening of our hearts to whoever we would see as the other. And I just pray for peace. I pray for unity. I pray for flourishing for those who we would see as enemies. I pray for a deep knowledge and experience of your love. And I just pray that we too would reach out and offer forgiveness and empathy and compassion, and that our hearts would truly be softened and that we would encompass the love for others that you had for those while you were on the cross. And that you were already in your nature showing forgiveness out of your deep, deep suffering and pain. And I pray that we would have that cruciform love and compassion for those in this time.
Great. Christ said, "And you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." We too are called to the ends of the earth. And would someone now please pray for the world at large?
Father, thank you for just the world that you've given us and made for us. This year has felt like 5 or 10 years already, but we know that you're with us, and we just pray that you would send your comforter into the world to comfort us during these hard times, and fill us with your hope and your love. Help your message of love reach the whole world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Open our hearts to your power, moving around us and between us and within us, until your glory is revealed in our love of both friend and enemy, in communities transformed by justice and compassion, and in the healing of all that is broken. Amen.
Amen. Say with your body what you hope to say with your heart during this time of receiving with from God. And so if you would feel more comfortable, I want to invite you to turn your screen off so that you can just embody a posture of openness and prayer. If you want to keep your screen on, that's fine, but I want to just encourage you to get to a space where you can receive in a meaningful way. And I'll invite you to close your eyes and imagine yourself sitting as a disciple of Jesus around a table with other disciples of Jesus. And it's just after the resurrection. It's an exciting time, but it's a bewildering time. A time of uncertainty, a time where the rules of life seem to have changed without warning. And in the midst of that uncertainty, imagine yourself carrying your life into that room, into that table. Get into touch now with what you're carrying in with you. What's in your heart's backpack? What's heavy? What's weary? What's afraid? And in the midst of that uncertainty, you hear the voice of one of the other disciples say, "Jesus, what's going to happen? Like, is this the time you're going to help us understand what we can rely on?" And you hear Jesus say that these times are beyond your control, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And imagine those words hitting you like you had never heard them before. What do you need power for today? Some of us are isolated, we're lonely. Some of us are deeply depleted from the constant care of child rearing in a moment like this. Some of us are afraid for the future of our health or our jobs or our dreams. You will receive power. Power to persevere. Power to keep laying your life down. Power to be patient. Power for today. Take a moment now and just ask the Holy Spirit to come to you afresh. You to think about any lesser loves that you have been looking to in this season to help you make it through. Is it the lesser love of quote unquote normal life? Have you been looking to friends or to a family member? Have you been looking to a substance or a feeling? Have you been looking to the government or looking to this church to give you what only Jesus can give you? Take a moment now and repent of that lesser love and open yourself to receive from the Spirit what only the Spirit can provide. your imagination, hear Jesus standing right in front of you. Imagine him standing right in front of you. And he breathes on you. And he says, "Peace I give you. Receive the Holy Spirit." Because the Holy Spirit has been given to us, God's love is poured into our hearts. So we can take pride even in our suffering, because we know these troubles produce endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope will not disappoint us. Amen. If you turned your camera off, I invite you to turn it back on as we continue in our worship gathering. Stephen Litton is going to lead us in our scripture reading this morning.
Acts 2, 42 through 47. The believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the community, to the shared meals, and to their prayers. A sense of awe came over everyone. God performed many wonders and signs through the apostles. All the believers were united and shared everything. They would sell pieces of property and possessions and distribute the proceeds to everyone who needed them. Every day they met together in the temple and ate in their homes. They shared food with gladness and simplicity. They praised God and demonstrated God's goodness to everyone. The Lord added daily to the community those who were being saved. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Stephen. All right, so I magically switched rooms. It's a trick. Can be in two places at once. All right, so we're going to spend some time reflecting on this scripture reading that Stephen just led us through. Acts 2:42, and hey, good news, we are into Acts 2. We have spent quite a long time in Acts chapter 1. We've now officially moved into Acts 2, and we come today to a core, meaningful verse that's going to guide our little church, the parish, through the next season. So we'll spend some time with this today. We'll probably revisit it again over the coming weeks. Now, a few months ago, there was the SpaceX launch. Do y'all remember this? I don't know if you took time to watch this. I didn't even know about it. And then David Darnell was like, "Don't speak to me for a while. I'm watching the SpaceX launch." And so we turned it on also and watched with our kids as they hurtled two human beings up to the International Space Station. And I would think we were watching CNN or something like that. And after the rocket launched, they went to a reporter who was standing in the field where the launch had just happened. And this guy's trying to like describe the launch that just took place. And as he describes it, he just starts talking about how they were all gathered there in this field and this amazing event just happened. And he starts like crying. He can't make it through the description of what happened because he's so awestruck by this thing he has just seen. And he's crying and I'm like making fun of him for crying. Then I notice like I'm about to cry too, because it's just like this amazing, I almost said out of this world, that would have been a terrible pun. This amazing experience that they are all united by what they have just witnessed together. And today's passage, I wonder if it's a little bit like that. Today's passage comes on the heels of resurrection and ascension and Pentecost. And the disciples have just been hit with one amazing experience after another, this awe and wonder of these incredible things that they have stood in fields and experienced together. And I wonder if they're just wide-eyed and jaws dropped at all that they have seen. And then we get to Acts 2, where they begin living a life out of all they have just seen and experienced. And I love this passage because it gives us a glimpse of the ordinary life they're living that is really an extraordinary life, but in the same way it is for us. They're living this spirit-empowered with God life, and this is the first glimpse of what that looks like. They're the first ones to receive the Holy Spirit. And so they're the first ones to demonstrate for us what that spirit-empowered life might look like. I love this passage because it gives us a glimpse of what that life looks like, but I see glimpses of that life popping up in our church as well. I look around the story of our church, and I see so much of what was present and beautiful and compelling in the verses that Stephen just read showing up in our church as well. We have this aspirational vision of what it can be like when the church is healthy and whole in these verses. They're sharing life together. People are added to the number. There's miracles, there's signs, there's wonders, there's sharing, there's unity, there's generosity, there's love, there's worship and prayer. And it's really beautiful. And amazing things happened. And so our tendency when we come to a verse like this might be, and it's not necessarily a bad tendency, but what we want to do is replicate their actions so that we can get their results. And so that's not a bad thing, but the goal today and what I want to point us away from is a nostalgic sentimentality about the way church used to be back then. It's not our point today to pine for the good old days of the Acts church. First of all, because it didn't last that long for them either. Right? Within a couple of chapters, these people who are sharing all of their property and giving it away to those in need, we find someone withholding their property and not giving it away to those in need. And pretty soon the apostles are fighting one another. There's infighting, there's disputes, there's conflict, and the stuff of life shows up in the early church as well. But the second reason we don't want to overly pine for the good old days, so to speak, is that this is as much a description of church life as it is a prescription for church life. The goal here is not some sort of formula for church growth. This is not an equation for effective evangelism. Do A, B, and C, and you'll get X, Y, and Z. This is not the prerequisites to miracle working. What I want to draw us toward instead today is the utter simplicity of what Stephen just read. That daily, they shared life together. They loved God. They loved their neighbors in a normal, ordinary life. And what anchors that life? What we see is that they are engaging in these practices, these rhythms, these habits, these disciplines, spiritual but simple ways of living life with God that are intentionally rehearsed over and over and over again. We see in verse 42 that they are devoted to these practices. right? They're not just interested in these practices. They're not just enthused by these practices. They have made a devotion around these practices. And in verse 46 and in 47, we see two times that this happens day by day. They do these practices day by day. And day by day, God takes the offering of their practices and does his kingdom building work in response and out of the overflow of that. And so these practices are a rule and a rhythm. They form this deep groove in the early church. It's such a deep groove that the early Christians were not known as Christians at all. They were known as followers of the way. These practices have formed a way of life. And I want to look at these practices for a moment. I'm going to put them up on the screen here so that you can see this. Right, here are the practices that they follow the apostles' teaching and they share life together. They pray. There's a breaking of bread, which perhaps has a double meaning of both just sharing meals together, but also the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, communion. And there's a radical overflow of unity and generosity. But we could boil all this down. I was listening to a commentary this week, and they said, you can boil all this down to preaching, prayers, and potlucks, right? Like, there's nothing in this list that is beyond you and I. There's nothing in this list that is like, whoa, how could we ever live up to that? But what you see in this list is a daily and deeply formed practice of these core disciplines. And when practiced deeply, these practices are as radical as we can imagine. And I want to draw us to how transformational these practices were when the early followers of Jesus allowed them to sink deep roots into their heart. In just six verses, we see the Spirit-empowered way of Jesus has changed where people live. It has changed how they understand property ownership and what was theirs. It has changed how they understand their relationship to others and to the other. It has changed how they respond to crisis and need. It has changed how they approach something as basic and fundamental as a meal. This has had a powerful transformative effect on their lives. And these practices are holistic. They flow out of Jesus and they give us our core practices that we talked about earlier this year: communion, community, commission. We receive our belovedness from Jesus, and that overflows into the relationships of our lives, and then collectively that overflows into a mission outward for the life of the world. And it's important that we talk about that because this is a holistic spirituality, and a holistic spirituality is a hallmark of a healthy way, a healthy church. And so what I want to do for a second is talk about Acts and us, Acts and our little church. Because these practices flow out of the river Jesus, but as we trace church history, what we find collectively is that when churches gather over time, this mighty river has splintered off into different disconnected tributaries. And it is possible to build a church around any of these practices. You can form a church around teaching, right? We might think of this as the evangelical church that is, and I'm painting with very broad brushstrokes here, and all of these are good expressions of church. But the evangelical church that's based around the word and the teaching, or perhaps it's a historical heritage church that is based around this particular way our group of people has been practicing the Christian way. And so we want to emphasize teaching so that we catechize ourselves to learn that particular way. Other churches form around life together, and they're interested in small groups and relationships and building community. And perhaps they form homogenous groups because the more I can surround myself with people who are like you, the more you'll want to join this church. Other churches are focused around prayers and the formation, the discipleship piece of our life. Other churches have formed around the liturgy, the Eucharist, the breaking of bread, the serving of wine, the sacraments. Other churches, more recently especially and rightfully so, have formed around this call of unity and generosity, the missional expression of the church. All of these are good. All of these are needed. But we often tend to distinguish our churches by saying, we're this kind of church, or we're that kind of church. And what we want to do is hold the center where we say all that we see flowing in the river of Jesus, let us flow down that stream also. And so if the parish focuses only on discipleship or spiritual formation, but we don't build meaningful community and friendships, you can have the richest contemplative spirituality, but we might end up with that impacting only ideas in our head and not the real world relationship where those ideas are then put to the test and practiced. Or we might focus on our relational life together, but become so exclusive and distracted by our interpersonal relationships that we forget to exist for the life of those outside the church. We might get the call to a great mission and go out to do something great for God, but if not rooted in community and communion, then what we'll end up with is an issue-shaped church rather than a Christ-shaped church. And so if we look around at all the problems that have plagued the church from time to time, we'll see individualism, consumerism, exclusivity, or a faith life that's divorced from real life. And you can track all of those back to emphasizing one of these tributaries instead of the whole river. And it malforms us. We end up malnourished. And so we're going to do our best to hold to the center in this church, the deep groove of this holistic practice. And what that means for us, that sounds really good, but what it means for us is one Sunday you might show up to church, I might show up to church, and the worship's just way too evangelical for me today. It's way too liturgical for my taste today. Oh, the prayers are way too charismatic or way too contemplative. Those classes are way too focused on social justice or the emphasis on mission. And all of us will have moments where it's not our cup of tea, and I want to invite us into that friction as the very place that Jesus might be coming, saying, you're malformed here. I want to invite you into a more holistic practice of who I am. All right, let's wrap it up with this. There were these practices, and out of these practices, there was tremendous fruit. We see unity. We see a sense of awe. We see the believers being added to the number. This goes from a small band of believers in this passage to a mega church in one day. And what we want to do often, what I want to do as a pastor, is to try to make that same byproduct happen, but skip out on the practice. I want to hit the home run without the batting practice. But the miracles, the growth, the impact, this was God's work. The outcomes were not the disciples' concern. They didn't do all of these practices so that they would get those things. They did those practices because they were invited into a way, right? They didn't devote themselves to having miracles and wonders. What they devoted themselves to was teaching and prayer. They didn't devote themselves to evangelism. They devoted themselves to community and care. And God did the evangelizing. God did the good news telling. God did the miracle working. It was God who overflowed out of love so that daily there were people added to the number of those being saved. The church's job, your job, my job, is to daily add to the number of those being served. And as we do that, God will do the rest. We just practice the with God life. And so here's what I want to do and give you a charge to today as we close. I want to send you out on a practice today. Let's get real practical. Romans 12 says this in the message. Here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. So I want to invite you today to take a walk around your neighborhood. And that might be a physical walk. It might be a in your mind walk. It's a prayer walk. You can walk it into your life. I don't want you to add anything new to your life. I want you to go to the life you're already living. And I want to ask you to ask Jesus for a fresh imagination for how you might place that life before God as an offering. As you go on this prayer walk, whether in your mind or in your real neighborhood, I want to invite you to see those who live around you, see your neighborhood, see your friends, see your coworkers, your classmates, your children, everybody God has put in your life. You need those people, and those people need you. And here's my practice that I want to just commend to us today, that we would, in the midst of that prayer walk, say, Jesus, what does it look like for me to faithfully practice the way with these people. I want to encourage you to do that today. Ask Jesus how you can take a next step in the way in the life you're already living. Amen. Rebecca's going to lead us through our confession and our assurance this morning.
Let us now confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ,
have mercy on us and forgive us,
that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. The Lord has already shown you mercy. The Lord has already had compassion on you. Jesus strengthens our weak knees, and we still have a long way to go. Be free.
We are forgiven.
Laugh out loud.
We are forgiven.
Love God with everything.
We are loved.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Is the Father with us?
He is.
Is Christ among us?
He is.
Is the Spirit here?
He is.
This is our God.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
We are his people.
We are the deep.
Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of our faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Now, in union, O Lord, with the faithful at every altar of your church, I present to you my soul and body with the earnest prayer that I will remain united to you. And since I cannot now receive you sacramentally, I pray that you would come to me spiritually. I unite myself to you and embrace you with my soul's affection. Let nothing separate me from you, that I may live and die in your love. Amen.
Let's sing together. Thanks, David. All right, friends, we are headed down the home stretch of our gathering this morning. I want to share with you a few things going on in the life of our community. I want to begin by real quick just recapping where we are on our regathering plan. This is one of those things that we just cannot talk about too many times to make sure we're all on the same page. And so we are well aware of the disconcerting trend in Georgia right now. And so let's just continue praying for our community. We're going to continue being patient and just seeking God's heart for how we gather as a church in the midst of an unprecedented time. To that end, we're in phase one of our plan, which is we want to encourage you on Sundays. And I don't see anyone taking me up on this yet. So, you know, you've got one job to do on Sunday mornings. Those of you who are eager to see some friends, invite them over on a Sunday, hang out. Have some food, have some drinks, obviously be wise about how you do that. And then our neighborhood groups are going to be meeting. Some will continue meeting digitally. Some will meet in a hybrid of digital and online, or digital and in person. And some are gonna be meeting in person, and that will kick off this week. Of course, we wanna encourage you to meet outside, to distance. We cannot have kids at these neighborhood groups in phase one. And of course, there will always be an online option. But that's where we are right now. But what I really want to talk about for a brief moment is phase two. We've talked about these Sunday house churches. I want to clear up a few questions that have come up. As we move to phase two, again, we're targeting August 2nd for this, but we are well aware that things are very much TBD in terms of what's going to happen with COVID. So don't be surprised if these dates shift. But with our Sunday house churches, there is going to be both an online house church option or house churches option and in person. No one will be left out in this model. We want those who are feeling good and feel free to meet in person to do so, but we recognize there are many who are not yet in that place. We want to encourage you to simply join us in the online version of the house church model. So there will be options either way. For those that are meeting in person, children will be allowed to participate in those gatherings, assuming they stay with their families. And so we'll be talking a lot more about this in the coming weeks, but I wanted to clear up those two things, that there will be an online option and children can participate in phase two when we get there. We continue to look for the right property options, the right next steps, and of course, waiting with COVID to see what will happen with phase three, where we can continue to come together in person as a whole community while holding to the good of this last season. We want to ask you to do something for us with this regathering plan to just help us continue to keep a pulse on how the church is feeling about this. And so to that end, I'm going to pass things over to Mike Nelson. He's going to share with you a couple announcements, beginning with one about this regathering plan.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jordan. I love the other room. So last week you showed us you want to be a televangelist. Now you want to be a multi-campus televangelist. Man, let's go for it. Let's do it. We will get you a helicopter to get from one to the other. But anyway, as far as regathering goes, one thing that's so, I'll just call it interesting right now about the year that is we're learning more and more that different people can experience the exact same event, or the exact same circumstances in very different ways. So they can interpret it in very different ways. And in a community like the parish that wants to be unified, rather than taking time to try to prove that you are right or prove that the other is wrong, what we would rather do is gain understanding from within and have grace and meet in the middle and meet in love. So in the interest of doing that, what we're gonna do is we have already sent out a survey to those that are in neighborhood groups. And the point of that survey had to do with your preferences as we begin this re-entry from the quarantine era. And we got a lot of great feedback. Thanks to all of you that responded to that. We want to extend that survey beyond those who are participating in neighborhood groups. So we are going to send that survey. We're going to make the survey available to everyone. So what we would ask is that every, at least one member from each family, it's just a quickie 2-minute survey. Okay. It's not long at all. And go to the perry.sh/regathering-survey. It's a quick survey, and it truly does help the leadership at the parish kind of understand how we are all experiencing COVID and what we are all comfortable with, and in a sense, what is prudent as we move forward. So if you are hearing this, I value your opinion, okay? I'm talking to you. Would love for you to log on and take this survey. Another thing that I'd love for you to do is to join our Book of Common Prayer class. We started last week was week one, but if you miss a chance to participate in week one, it's not too late. The Book of Common Prayer has been around for a long time, so if you're a week late, that's okay. So tomorrow night at 8 p.m., we're doing it again. So if you missed it, but you're still registered to participate, it's not too late to join in. Another thing we'd love for you to join in is neighborhood groups, for those of you that already joined. And so they will continue to meet this Wednesday from 8 until 9. If you haven't already, get in touch with your group leader about the logistics of your specific group, because as we are coming to understand within neighborhood groups, what is prudent, what is wise for one group may or may not be true for another. And so we're leaving it to each group to prayerfully consider what are the logistics. So please get with your specific group leader to get an understanding of what those logistics will be. After the groups on Wednesday is our comp line service led by the one and only Alan Pearson. If you want more information on that, please text comp line to 31996 for a weekly reminder, or go to the perry.ch/comp line. As I've said before, that is the Anglican way to end your day. It's a beautiful service, hundreds of years old. It's a beautiful service to end the day in prayer. Lastly, I want to talk about giving. First of all, during these uncertain times, I feel like I've said that at least once during this announcement. I just want to thank you personally as a member of leadership and just a member of the parish. All of you that give so faithfully, thank you so much. Your giving allows community to continue and also flourish and to be a blessing to others around us. So for those of you that do not know about the app, there's an app called Give. All right. Some people are saying it might be Give, but I am a trained professional. Trust me, it's Give. So please text Give to 31996, or you can go online to theperry.ch/Give. Thank you again, guys. That's all I got. Back to Jordan and the Parishites. Take it away.
All right, y'all. Well, we have run a little bit late today, and I have spontaneously reappeared in this other room to continue my megachurch movement here that we have going on. We're going to wrap up our gathering, as we always do, by closing and focusing on the cross of Christ, and then we will spend a few minutes in our 3 Good Minutes breakout sessions. Let's do this first. Would you join with me? All our problems, we send to the cross of Christ. All our difficulties, we send to the cross of Christ. All the devil's works, we send to the cross of Christ. And all our hopes, we set on the risen Christ. And if you open your hands for the blessing, friends of God, may the peace of our Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you in the wilderness and protect you in the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. May you go in peace to love and serve the Lord.